Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Thursday afternoon edition of Sue's News is coming up. Sue, you ready here for Sue's News this afternoon? Y'all fired up about it? All right.
We
look forward to that. We have Fred is in the studio. Ethan might join us here in a couple of minutes. The Cardinals, I think, are about to lose this game to the Cubs, which would mean a split. Fred, you know what happened last night? I was very excited because Monday I had the swim meet that I've mentioned I was so thrilled to be at that just goes on and on forever. So I couldn't watch that game or listen to that game on Monday night. Tuesday, I had a client dinner that was wonderful. It's a new sponsor. Bitcoin Ben is going to come on here, and you're going to love to hear about what he's all about. So last night, even as I was leaving, I told Ethan, I'm very excited because I can watch the game tonight. Well, two things happened. One, the Cardinals went down very early, and then my damn Spectrum went out again last night.
Oh, no.
And it just, they're so unreliable. I've told you that AT&T has laid fiber cable in my neighborhood. They tore up my lawn, but I've said, and it doesn't look very good. It's not the heat this week is not doing it any favors.
But
I have said, look, if it's going to improve my internet service in the end, they're not quite ready to press go on offering us the service. I've heard August or maybe September. I thought, well, that, you know, that's certainly going to be worth the sacrifice for whatever happens to my lawn. But I'm just telling you, a year ago, you guys remember this, Spectrum was going out almost weekly for a stretch.
Well, and now listen, though. In fairness, the guy told us that they were getting vandalized.
Right. Okay, fine. But stop the vandalism. Do something to stop the vandals from making it so easy to cut the internet. So last night, watching the game, I think at this point it was like 4-0. The Cardinals were already down. I go downstairs to try to turn it on because it's on Amazon. That's how I stream the games these days. And I was going down with the puppy, and I thought I'm going to turn the game on, and it wouldn't come on. And I yelled upstairs, and Becky's like, internet's out. So at this point, we go, and we have to climb out of our neighborhood with the car because we don't get any data service, right? Where I live in, you know, the High Ridge Valley Park. We literally, they call it Valley Park because I'm literally in a valley. So we go up to the top of the hill with the other subdivision, and I said, well, just call Spectrum. They will often tell you, yes, there is an outage in your area. Well, they say, yes, we noticed that your service is not working, blah, blah, blah. We will reset it from our end. And this is all on the automated system. So I also, you know, the first thing you do is what? You reboot and you unplug things.
Right.
I'd already done that. So she comes back down. Alexa and I are riding the bikes. And I go back in the house and it's still out. So then I go up to the top of the hill and I finally get a person on the line. And it's always the same thing. Yeah, we can notice. They can tell whether it's on or not from their end. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, yeah, it's there's nothing we can do at this point. It's out. So, and I said, let me guess. The best thing you can do is send out a technician, and it's going to be 6:00 tomorrow night. And she goes, well, I do have 3 to 4 p.m. available. I'm like, yeah, same thing.
Gosh.
Now, I kind of reared back and said, look, I know it's not your fault, but this is utterly ridiculous. Can you communicate this to the powers that be? So I drive back down the hill to my house. It's like a 2-minute drive. I pull in. The damn thing comes back on, and it's been on ever since. So it's just this back and forth, and it was only, I don't know if it was only my house, but my neighbor had it, and my other neighbor had their Spectrum service. It just gets so frustrating, so I don't know if I'm going to have service tonight or not. But I guess the coming full circle, it was good that I didn't get to watch the Cardinals game, right?
Yeah, it was probably better off that it was off. Now, what happened with me is, you know, the Cardinals went down early, mm-hmm. so I thought, okay, great, I'm going to flip over and watch the St. Louis City game.
Right, they were playing at the same time.
Because it was a Wednesday night game here at home. I flipped over there, 36 minutes into the game, we were down 3-0.
But didn't they end up scoring, though?
Yeah, but we lost 4-2.
Okay, yeah.
But it's like, man, what a bad night for St. Louis sports.
Our friend Rich Krismer, Rich works behind the scenes with a lot of the folks that you'll hear here on 97.1 FM Talk. He's an insider when it comes to politics, and Rich and I are friends, and he likes some of the same music I do. And he invited me yesterday morning. He goes, hey, you want to go to the City game? And I'm telling you, every time he invites me to a game, it's either like 105 degrees or it's 30 degrees. Because we've never gone to a game together. I've only been to one soccer game. And I said, I had other responsibilities because of being at home although if I would have known my internet was out, I probably would have accepted the invitation. Anyway, the other story from last night is, and this, I don't even know where the inspiration came from, Sue. I'm not sure, but I was sharing some pictures with you last night. My daughter told Becky on Tuesday, okay, I'm going to be in charge of dinner tomorrow night. All right. So they go to the store. She picks out some things. I wasn't supposed to know what it was. It was like fettuccine Alfredo. Right. And then at one point, Becky's like, well, should we defrost some chicken or some shrimp? She goes, no, I got the protein part. I'm like, OK. So I get home last night. She had bought like a meat and cheese package, if you will. And she put together, she took it all out of the package, and she put together her own, I can't say this word, charcuterie board.
Charcuterie.
There it is.
She did her own charcuterie, and I thought it looked good.
The presentation was amazing.
Yes.
Now, perhaps inspired by her brother, who's a foodie and is in the restaurant industry with her, you know, with his girlfriend, that's where the grandson is in Houston.
True.
So she was making Alfredo sauce. I mean, it was in a whatever, a can that she bought at the store, and then she put it in the pot. I mean, she didn't make this from scratch.
Okay.
She didn't make the pasta from scratch, but she got fettuccine. She boiled the water. And
this
there
is
was
nice.
Some monitoring by mom and dad, but she didn't want any help, really. I was just making sure she's not going to hurt herself or burn herself or something like that. So we had the charcuterie board. I still can't say it.
Charcuterie.
Yeah. And that was delicious. I ate quite a bit of that. And then we had the pasta Alfredo. Now, hopefully she's not listening right now. The pasta perhaps was a little undercooked. I'm not a big fettuccine guy because fettuccine is like a thicker pasta, isn't it? But she had turned the burner down because it was on high at first. And then, you know, the water starts boiling and the foam comes up and all that stuff. And, you know, even though the wooden spoon trick usually works, she dialed it down to about 6 and she noticed it wasn't really rapidly boiling. So I said, well, that's okay. Just turn it up and we'll let it go for a couple extra minutes. But I didn't tell her that, of course.
Well, it was al dente.
That it was under. Yeah,
that's
it was.
All she was doing.
That's you know what? Maybe that's
and
what her response would have been.
Thank you, Fred.
Yeah.
Well, that's why, Fred, in a rare moment where I can never keep my mouth shut, I didn't say anything. Well, you know that, Sue. I didn't say,
the bell?
"Hey, babe,
can I have the bell for that, Fred."
There we go.
Thank you.
Because I said to Becca, I think the pasta might have been a little undercooked. Yeah, but that's okay. It was good, and she says she wants to do it weekly. So I'll keep you posted. Maybe we'll have to have a Mark Reardon Show dinner over at the house where Alexa cooks.
I would love
that. I just love that it's something she wants to do and it's a passion and she's off the stupid iPad. Believe me, that's a good thing. Sue's News is coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
About an hour ago, we aired just a little bit of this event that the president had at the White House about the big, beautiful bill. He even highlighted a trucker from Missouri. But we were kind of dialed in because we wanted to know if he was going to take questions, and there was no Q&A from the media. The Q&A from the media came with Hegseth this morning, and that got really, really hot. I'll have more of that audio a little bit later. We have audio cut of the day. Scott Jennings is coming up at 5:04. Congressman Bob Onder on both the topic of Iran and the big, beautiful bill at the bottom of the hour. But first, on a Thursday afternoon, we have to do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know what? Ethan is going to Seattle. Don't let me forget to ask him about that, because I want to tell him, you can go to Seattle and go to Pike Market, and I brought home an entire fish, like a whole salmon, on the plane. They'll put it in dry ice for you.
That market is incredible.
Isn't it?
And the way they throw fish around there is amazing.
So you can do that home.
You can do that. It won't smell up the entire plane.
Yeah. They pack it for you. I took a whole wild salmon home, and they professionally pack it. And you can't really tell. I mean, and it was just a carry-on.
Well,
it was delicious.
I think that if he comes back empty-handed, we'll have to have a little discussion with
Thank
Ethan.
Thank you.
Bring back. She wants to bring back a fish. Bring back a fish. Yes.
Yes.
She just said you missed some of this because the headphones were on it.
Repitch
this.
You can go to Pike's Market, and they'll pack up an entire fish. They'll put it on dry ice for you, And I've taken it on the plane. You just bring it on the plane and take it home, and it's so good.
Oh, man. I am a fan of fish, and multiple
yes.
people have told me that that's the spot to go. But,
oh, for sure.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how the wife is going to feel about that. That's the part
well,
where I'm a little bit
smell
concerned.
It.
It's going to be
take
packaged.
It home, bring it to
yeah.
us.
Yeah, right, exactly. She doesn't even have to know.
Okay.
Or right, she won't know.
So let's go ahead and let's take some orders here at some point this week. And as long as there's no catfish involved, then I think we're okay.
See, I like a little smoked salmon and, you know, some crackers and stuff like that. There's a variety of ways that you can
big
do
fan.
That.
Big
yeah.
fan.
You didn't bring home a fish, did you, Fred?
No, we didn't. We just ate it there.
Oh, that's fair. It's still good. It is National Coconut Day. Oh, I love coconut. And National Barcode Day and National Bomb Pop Day.
What?
Yeah, we need a barcode day.
How
we?
Does... Yeah, I think I have an idea for how to celebrate National Bomb Pop Day, but how do you celebrate National Barcode Day? What do you do?
With glee, scan a barcode and think about how you didn't... I mean, where... How long have barcodes been around? We did not have them back in the day.
No, we did not.
And they have made things easier, although the really hip people are now putting them on business cards and such.
I think mine has one, doesn't it, Sue?
Well, that's different.
It might.
Is a barcode, it's different than a QR code, though, isn't it?
Oh,
like a QR
yeah,
code
you're
is
right.
something.
QR codes, true. Yeah. Mine has a QR code, my
right,
business card.
Exactly.
You're right. All right. On this day in history, 206 years ago, in 1819, William Clarkson Jr. patented the bicycle in America. That is 1819. Now, apparently there's a story that in 1817, German Baron, well, it's probably Baron von Karl Drace, he created one that it sounded to me like a Flintstones version of the bicycle. It had no pedals, so you could kind of push it with your feet. And then Americans and other people started putting on pedals. But that's how old the bicycle was. 206 years.
I don't know. I'd have thought it'd been older.
I did, too.
I'm pretty sure you mispronounced his name,
though. Sometimes these are always interesting because, right, your instinct would tell you maybe be a little bit longer ago. By the way, well, on that topic, Sue, the Tour de France starts next week. So I'm very excited about that.
I know. I am, too. I love tuning into that darn thing. And that's just the patent. So maybe somebody came up with something before, and our friend William Clarkson Jr. just was smart enough to patent it.
And I'd have thought it was Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, true.
Right.
He invented basically everything else.
He was busy with his bifocals looking at bicycles. It was too late for him. Okay, this has music that you can just start because it's the world's longest intro.
Is this the right one? Oh, yes, I can hear it now. Was this from a movie?
I still don't know.
Well, it's For Your Eyes Only. It's Sheena Easton,
oh,
right, Sue?
Yeah.
Roger Moore, baby.
Yeah, that's right. It was from a movie.
It's 007.
Only can see me through the night.
It's a little different than Morning Train.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no kidding. 1981 was in Roger Moore's version. So this is For Your Eyes Only with Sheena Easton. Roger Moore, if he is your favorite 007... I remember seeing this in the theater because it was 1981, and now this song has been stuck in my head all day. 44 years ago. Well, that's depressing, but that's the truth. You go, Sheena.
I think they're trying to pick a new Bond now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They just announced.
They're doing more?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course
oh,
they are,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve, who's done some pretty good movies in the past, has been picked as the writer and director on the film. But I never, you know, I never used to like the early James Bond movies at all. I love the Daniel Craig James Bond.
Yes,
I mean, if you had to ask
so
me,
awesome.
He's my favorite James Bond. I know that might
Thank
be sacrilege
you.
To James
Where's
Bond the fans. There we go, the bell. There,
Thank
Fred
you.
Has it handy now.
Because I agree, he was just the best. He was that kind of quiet. Anger, but also super smooth, and he's just who it was.
I think
and
they're
Roger
gonna go.
Was funnier.
DEI Bond now. I'm pretty sure. By the way,
well,
but
as
we'll
long
see.
As he's male, I'm not sure I care. Okay.
Oh, how what a twist that would be.
Ugh, I can't.
James Bondette.
The Social Network Part 2 is in the works. Apparently, Aaron Sorkin is making a sequel that'll focus on the consequences of Facebook becoming the largest social media platform. Apparently, it's going to be based on the investigation by the Wall Street Journal that exposed the fact that the company was actually aware of its own negative impacts, including the spread of disinformation. And they haven't said yet whether Jesse Eisenberg will come back as Zuckerberg, but that is in the works.
Oh, if he doesn't, then there's no point in doing it.
Well, I don't know. I don't see why he couldn't.
Yeah.
Did you like him in it, Mark?
I did.
What was your review of that?
I liked that movie. I thought it was pretty good.
And they also say Netflix is going to be making a documentary on Olivia Newton-John. No release date yet, but this is what they say. It will, quote, explore the music, life, and magic of beloved pop star and cultural phenom Olivia Newton-John.
I think that's well-deserved.
Fred's first love.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Fred's first love. I remember my dad thought she was adorable, too.
Look, you can't argue about the important role that she played in pop culture, not only from Greece, but to her. I saw her at the damn Checkerdome on the physical tour. I mean, for a while, she was selling arenas out.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right. That's exactly what I have. She is a 12-time Grammy nominee. She was in Greece in 1978, the Let's Get Physical phase, and remember her boyfriend disappeared in 2005, and some people think that he faked his own death?
Ooh, I don't remember that part.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. So now, that should be an interesting
quiz. So I had
a
chance.
Yeah. And she passed away like 3 years ago,
careful,
right?
Fred.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's been about that long.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. And she had I can't remember if she was married to this guy, but that was a nice relationship. But yeah, there's a whole story about the guy who went out fishing and never came back, and they finally declared him dead in 2008.
So she was married from 2008 to 2022 to one guy, but the other guy, Matt Lattanzani, was married in 84 to 95. So was that the guy then? Probably.
No, Matt is the one in her Let's Get Physical phase, and he's the father of the daughter. And then she dated this guy in 2005, and he's the one who disappeared.
Oh, okay.
They declared him dead in 2008, and that's when she got married to the other
guy. I do not remember that.
Sue is really up on all the pop culture.
Well, it was so weird.
This is like TMZ.
Yeah, no kidding.
A comedy called Very Young Frankenstein is in development at FX with Mel Brooks executive producing, of course. We'll see how that goes.
Ethan, you ever see Young Frankenstein?
I have not.
On the list.
Wait, you go first. It might be dangerous. That's my favorite line from Young Frankenstein. I love that.
I've never seen the whole thing.
Oh, my to-watch list from working with these two shows has gone through the roof. I'm so far behind, I don't know if I can ever catch up, guys.
Probably
but
not.
But your wife is really going to like Sleepless in Seattle, so I
would
start
did?
There.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Okay, Jeff Bezos is marrying that woman with a lot of cosmetic surgery, Lauren Sanchez, somewhere in Venice this weekend. It's supposed to be a 3-day event, 250 guests, including Oprah and Mick Jagger. Estimates are $76 million. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And they're saying, you know what? We don't want gifts. Can you imagine if they wanted gifts?
How
That's
nice
just
of them. They're just such good people.
But who's not going to bring a gift, right? People are still going to do a gift. Everyone says don't bring gifts, and people still bring gifts.
Well, no. They gave out a list of 3 Venetian charities to donate to.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe that's a good thing then.
So I thought that's not a bad idea.
Look, I have a conflict. I was invited, but Alex Rich is getting married here in St. Louis. So I could not make the Bezos wedding, and I have a good excuse. So there you go.
Okay, do you have everybody's outfit worked out for them?
Not quite. We'll keep you posted on that.
I'm a little concerned. Okay, and finally, in Sue's news, we do have today's random fact. I'll do it for you guys. The World Series has been best of 9 4 times instead of the traditional best of 7. 1903, 1919, 1920, and 1921. The goal was to generate more revenue by having more games. Did you all know that, my
Ethan,
baseball
did you know
peoples?
That?
I knew that it had previously been 9 games. I didn't know that it was that recent. I thought it was even farther back.
Yeah, well,
and that's it. For
it's only 7 games, but it still goes to November. So
I think
we got
World
that
Series
going
started first. In 1903. So I think that was like the very first.
Oh, what? Seriously?
Yeah.
Ethan, the Cardinals lost today?
They did.
Okay, so they split the series with the Cubs. Congressman Bob Onder is coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And do not miss an hour from now. John Murawski is going to come up from Real Clear Investigations. And, you know, of course, it's Pride Month. And outside of my building here downtown, they're setting up for this big Pride event this weekend. John at Real Clear Investigations has really done a deep dive into these libraries. Public libraries are the... you know, the featured group now with the queer theme titles for all ages, from toddlers to teens. And some of his investigation is quite stunning. He'll join us at 5:33. Scott Jennings at 5:04 right now. And he's just been named as the co-chair of the House Congressional Pro-Life Caucus. Congressman Bob Onder with us this afternoon. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Mark, it's great to be back.
That naming to that caucus, well-timed, a big Supreme Court decision today, wasn't there, on the issue of Planned Parenthood. Just a couple years after Dobbs, something interesting happened today, didn't it?
Yeah, you're right. We are just 2 days ago, we celebrated the third anniversary of the Dobbs decision, which returned the decision about how to treat abortion to the people, the states, and to the people as the Constitution intended. But today... the Supreme Court ruled that states can indeed decide not to force taxpayers to fund abortion providers, including Planned Parenthood. And this just makes sense because Medicaid has always been a joint state and federal program, and states have determined provider eligibility. So some states, including Missouri, have decided that an organization that kills babies for a living is not an appropriate way to use tax funds, and defunded Planned Parenthood. There was some legal ambiguity, though, that was resolved today when, in the Medina case, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states indeed can choose who can be a provider and can bar abortion providers from state Medicaid participation. I'm proud to say that I and I think it was about a dozen other congressmen filed an amicus brief in that case. So our side did prevail.
But the bottom line on that is, if you're on Medicaid in Missouri, or I guess in any state at this point, you cannot use that program to get services at Planned Parenthood, or specifically abortions, or all services.
Services. And the thing is, money is fungible. So money that goes from the taxpayer to Planned Parenthood is going to be used for other things Planned Parenthood does, such as abortion. But also, Planned Parenthood is the number one provider of transgender drugs for children, puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. But, you know, there are literally, Mark, in Missouri, hundreds and hundreds of providers from rural health clinics, FQHCs, of course, private practices, private clinics at universities, where women can get medical services. Women do not need to go to an abortion clinic to get a pap smear.
By the way, I had Andrew Bailey, our attorney general, on yesterday, and one of the things we talked about, that was a big decision last week on the transgender issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was an enormous decision, the U.S. v. Scarametti case, in which the Tennessee law in Missouri has a very similar law to protect kids from the quacks and groomers who would make a profit out of convincing little girls that they're really boys and boys they're really girls, that states like Tennessee, like Missouri, can protect kids from this diabolical industry. And, you know, around the world, Finland, Sweden, the United Kingdom, these countries that we view as very liberal, very progressive, they looked at the evidence, looked at the studies, and they said there's very little evidence that this irreversibly harmful so-called treatment did these kids any good. A lot of these kids have depression or anxiety, right, or on the autism spectrum, or maybe they were victims of abuse. But these, and I call them groomers on TikTok, convince these poor children that all their problems will go away if only they, quote, transition. The tragedy is that then there's a whole medical industry there ready to profit from these kids by giving them these expensive, dangerous drugs and surgeries.
It is disgusting, and it looks like you're right about the rest of the world kind of leading the way. We were falling behind. One of the things I said to Andrew, I don't know how you feel about this, if it wasn't for Jamie Reed, the whistleblower right here in St. Louis at WashU and Children's Hospital, I'm not so sure that this would have gotten to the Supreme Court, or at least had as much success. That was such an important piece, because some of us, of course, Bob, even people like you, were talking about this issue for a long time before that whistleblower report, but that gave it a little bit more, I think, legitimacy, because she was a lesbian who was married to a trans person.
You're 100% correct there, Mark. These personal testimonies, these personal stories make all the difference in the world, because Jamie was all in on what they were doing down there until she realized that what they were doing is literally child abuse. Same with the detransitioners, people like Luca Hunt and Chloe Cole. They tell this story about their parents being coerced into going along with the transition. It's just horrific. It is child abuse in the guise of medical care.
There's
it needs
no doubt.
To be outlawed.
Yeah. Chris Elston, I don't know if you know Chris, Billboard Chris. You know who he is, Bob, by any chance?
Oh, yeah, I know Billboard Chris, absolutely.
So he's been a hero in all of this with Jamie Reed, and he calls it the biggest child abuse scandal in the history of the modern world, and I don't think there's any debate about that. All right, we're on limited time. I have to get your thoughts on several things. First, your reaction not only to the attack over the weekend, Missouri playing a big role on the bombing of the nuclear sites in Iran, but then the aftermath and the controversy about this leak that's coming out right now in the last couple of days that the president and Pete Hegseth and the Secretary of State Marco Rubio not very happy about.
Yeah, that's right. Our brave pilots from Whiteman Air Force Base flew halfway across the world, multiple refuelings in the air to deliver the bunker buster bombs that, as best we can tell, has obliterated Iran's ambitions to get a nuclear weapon, and that makes us all safer. Not only our ally Israel, but other Middle Eastern countries, and of course the Iranians were developing intermediate and even long range missiles that could hit Europe. So I think a big victory for world peace, and it looks like the ceasefire is holding. But the idea that Democrats were serving as leakers, that is really disturbing. I don't know much about that at this time, but that is.
I think they're trying to figure some things out, and obviously, I don't know if there was a crime committed, but it does appear that the allegation at this point is that they were Democrats that were behind that. Do you have any, I guess the question now is, and this is part of the controversy with the media, is how much of the nuclear program did we destroy? What was, because this was an expensive operation, right? So what is the ROI on that? I don't think we really have a definitive answer on that, which is why the leaked report was irresponsible in the first place, because we don't know a lot of the answers to these questions at this point.
I think that's exactly right. And we don't know. It's perhaps unknowable at this point. I think, Mark, we have this theme that there are too many people, not all Democrats, but too many people of that political party who quite literally hate America, or at very least they have Trump derangement syndrome. So if it's something the Trump administration is behind, it's automatically bad. You've got to undermine it in any way you can, even if it means giving aid and comfort to our enemies. Just a sad state of affairs.
So on the big, beautiful bill, the president had an event at the White House earlier this afternoon, and he even gave a shout out to a Missouri trucker trying to highlight some of the people who will be, benefiting from certainly the tax breaks that will continue from the first administration. It's still in the Senate. You still have people in the Senate. Even Senator Kennedy from Louisiana has said he doesn't like everything in this bill. So the plan, though, is to get this back to you guys in the House next week and get it to the president by the 4th of July. Is that a realistic timetable?
I thought it was a realistic timetable up until the last 48 hours. The House and Senate had some big differences in the bill. The Senate was saving more money on with Medicaid reforms, but the Senate was allowing more of the Green New Deal scam projects to go forward. There were differences. There were differences on the issue of artificial intelligence. There were differences in how we treated reforms to the food stamp program. But I really thought all those differences were probably reconcilable. But after this, Elizabeth McDonough, this unelected parliamentarian who's supposed to just be an advisor to the Senate to say what fits within the Senate parliamentary rules on the reconciliation bill, she just took a sledgehammer to the entire bill. She decided that the Big Beautiful Bill could not make reforms to the food stamp program, could not bar illegal aliens from receiving Medicaid and food stamps, could not defund transgender clinics, could not make changes to the Medicaid provider tax, could not make restrictions on abortion funding in Affordable Care Act, Obamacare plans. She just decided that she was the unelected dictator of the United States of America, more powerful than Trump in a lot of ways. The good news is she can be overruled. J.D. Vance can preside over the Senate. And when the Democrats object and say the parliamentarian doesn't like this stuff, he can rule against the Democrats, number one. Or number two, she could be fired just like Trent Lott once fired a liberal Democrat parliamentarian. So, but if her version of the Big Beautiful Bill holds, I don't think the bill passes.
Yeah, so here's Senator Kennedy. I mentioned him.
I've already found a few things in this bill that we weren't told about. And I'm not happy. And the response, well, you should read the bill. I have read the bill.
So, you know, when I hear that from someone like Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana, that makes me think that the timetable is not going to really stick at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Senate, you know, what we were hearing, and we really only heard details about the Senate bill, again, the Senate bill pre-parliamentarian in the last few days. And there were enough differences that the July 4th deadline didn't sound very realistic. Now you toss in this parliamentarian mess, it becomes less realistic. But what we are being told right now is keep our schedules clear for next week because we could. It was going to be the 4th of July in district week that we may very well be going back next week. But I don't think if there is a bill that can pass the House and pass the Senate will be back next week. I hope we are. I may miss a 4th of July parade in the 101 degree weather back in Missouri, but I really hope we can get it done. But boy, we kind of have a mess on our hands. The first senator has already called for the firing of this parliamentarian. Yeah. I was one of the first House members. But but 4th of July, maybe, I hope. But
well, that's, you know, it's an interesting and an undercovered angle, and I'm glad you brought up what's happening with her. She was actually, I think, appointed by Harry Reid many years ago, and they're trying everything.
She was indeed.
Yeah, they're trying everything that they can in the toolbox. But if just to be clear, I know Republicans are calling for Elizabeth McDonough to be fired. If she's fired, does that solve the problem as far as the vote goes?
Well, I think if she and look, I think there probably are a handful of things in the Big Beautiful Bill that don't meet standards for reconciliation. If something is pure policy, it does not meet the standards for what can be in a reconciliation bill and then pass with a simple majority in the Senate. But everything I just listed has definite fiscal impact. So yes, if we go back to House bill versus Senate bill, there's still a lot of big differences, everything from the SALT tax to how we treat Medicaid to the Senate is much more indulgent of the Green New Deal scam programs than the House was. We phased out those subsidies much quicker. So we still have big differences. So it was a stretch to get all that done by the 4th of July anyway, but now we have an even bigger mess.
All right, Bob, we'll keep us posted, okay?
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, it's Congressman Bob Anders. So basically, the bottom line on that is she's supposed to be the nonpartisan advisor on the rules and procedure. And then she rules today that there are provisions related to Medicaid cuts that violate the rule that was named for late Senator Robert Byrd. And that rule mandates that the reconciliation process, which allows the Senate to pass legislation with the simple majority, which is why this thing even has a chance, other than the 60 votes typically required, can only be used to advance provisions with a fiscal impact that isn't merely incidental, whatever the hell that means. So there's some wrangling that's going to have to go on to get this to the president's desk, just to get it to the House at this point.
You'll never hold all the details in your mind.
Scott Jennings coming up after the top of the hour. We have not visited with him since he was in Israel, and he kind of got trapped in Israel to a certain extent. We had Josh Hammer telling an amazing, daunting story on Monday's show. I've already given the green light for Ethan to use that on the 4th of July. We have a best of show a week from Friday, but man, his story was crazy. Jennings is as well, but he'll weigh in on everything Iran-related and some of the media stuff that's come on. Obviously, his outlet that he appears on every night at the focus of some of this with CNN. It's one of those days, though. I haven't even gotten to the audio with General Dan Raising Kane, who's amazing. He's the Joint Chiefs Chair, and he spoke out a little bit about the attacks today. But there are all these things that happen on Capitol Hill. You heard Congressman Andre. There was a hearing today about DEI and how it promotes discrimination and hinders equality. And this was from the Committee on Oversight. And there was one of the witnesses who was featured here. I'm going to play you some of this audio. His name is Sean Harper, and he's a professor at USC in California. He is the Provost Professor of Education, Business, and Public Policy. He is the chair, the Clifford Betty Allen Chair in Urban Leadership, the USC Race and Equity Center founder, and the chief research scientist. But all he is essentially a race baiter. But Brandon Gill, who's a congressman from Texas, tried to call him out on some of this stuff today during this oversight committee hearing.
You believe that America should be a colorblind society? For instance, should people be treated differently based on their race? It's just a yes or no question.
It's not a yes or no question.
It's a yes or no question.
It is a, as I said in the beginning of my testimony, America
yes
has
or no
not
was
done
fine.
Right by should, indigenous should people, peoples, by black people, by Asian American and Pacific Islander
should
people.
Should people be treated differently based on their race?
So it's a pretty simple question. This is what I love about these hearings on Capitol Hill, because in both sides try to play gotcha. But in this particular case, I think Dan Gill kind of got him.
Yes or no?
People should receive the services and the support and the remedies that
so
are
your
owed
answer
to
is
them.
That they should be treated differently based on their race.
They should receive the remedies that are owed to them because of the systemic racism and injustice.
Do you believe that race should be considered in employer hiring practices?
I do not believe that white people are the only qualified people for jobs.
I didn't say that. Nobody said that. I asked you if race should be considered in employer hiring practices.
I would take that as a yes. So this guy is all over DEI. This is one of the problems with academia because, you know, you have this guy who just won this race in New York. We talked about it a little bit earlier. We talked about it on the show yesterday, too. He is a complete radical. And, you know, as Michael Goodwin told us in the last hour, he's kind of slick. He's a young guy. He's not bad looking. He's a good communicator. So he brings a lot of people into his world that probably have no idea how radical his ideas are. This is what happens at institutions of higher learning with guys like this guy at USC. And then they're only really exposed because, look, they're, you know, the rest of the professors at USC, there's only a handful of conservative professors probably in the entire country, but certainly at a school like USC. This is the only time to get them on the record and really get them exposed.
And you're not going to intimidate me by slandering me as a racist.
You're also, I did not call you a racist.
No,
you're not going to intimidate
it,
me
you
by insisting
it. I'm
that I called you a
straightforward
racist.
Question. It's a yes or no question. Should race be considered an employer hiring practice?
Yeah, he won't answer the question. It is a pretty simple question, and he refuses to answer it. He's exposed quite well, but again, that's an undercover story because of everything else going on in the news cycle. Scott Jennings, just around the corner. Audio cut of the day next hour as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.